It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Hi there, and welcome to Oaktown Boys, season 3, episode 18.
Getting up there.
Pretty good week.
Halfway.
Pretty good week. One of the better ones. One of the better weeks in recent memory, at least.
One of the better recent weeks for sure. Last week, if you will recall, we said we wanted a 4-3 week. And we kind of got that. We are recording one day later than planned, so had we recorded yesterday, we would have been 4-3.
Would have nailed it.
But the A's lost today, making it 4-4. So we kind of messed that up ourselves. But, I mean, they're basically playing 500 ball over the last month.
Yes, which is amazing, honestly.
Quite, if we're going to be realistic with ourselves, that's kind of like all we can hope for.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, like, cool. I know they need to play, what, like probably 875 ball to be 500. So that's probably not what's going to happen. You know, I think we need to stop looking at the season in terms of a season and start looking at it in sections. Yeah. I think that's why I enjoy doing this. It's one of the reasons I enjoy doing this, because it's like we were 4-4 over the last week. Like, I don't need to really worry about our overall record. All I need to worry about is what happened between this time and when we talked last time,
That's right.
And it's been pretty fine since then. There have been a number of teams that have a much worse record than the A's since the last time we recorded, so that's a win in and of itself. You know, we're definitely not the worst team in the league by miles anymore, which is a victory. We're calling that fully a victory.
Yeah. I think overall record-wise, we might still be the worst team. Let's check on that.
I know we got to be close, but
got to check in on
we don't cleanly own it anymore.
281. Kansas City, 287. Same number of wins, 25.
Okay, they just have fewer losses.
Two losses less.
But they've played fewer games, so we can assume they're going to lose those games. They stink. So
I think so. They're also 3-7 in their last 10. So are the Angels.
And we're 5-5,
and we're
right?
5-5.
Yeah.
The Giants and the Rockies are also 3-7. So are the Cubs. All those teams suck.
Yeah, they're not as good as us, and we have surpassed them in both talent and trajectory.
Let it be known.
But let's get into what happened. The series against the Yankees stunk.
Yeah, it did. As we were recording the last episode, the perfect game that shall not be mentioned happened. It was cool. It was a perfect game. It's kind of crazy. It was obviously one of the more exciting nights of baseball to watch in a while.
Yeah, it was historic. for better or worse. You know, that's one thing you can say about it. You know, it's Domingo Germán. Kind of wish it was anybody other than Domingo Germán.
Yeah, it's hard not to.
It's funny because it's not so. It's not even necessarily so much that it was. I mean, am I surprised that this collection of hitters got no hitter slash perfect gamed at some point this season? Not really, honestly. Like they are, they look a little listless sometimes. God, I didn't want it to be that night against him. You know. But it happened. They had 27 up, 27 down. He did it. So.
It was a rare kind of bump in the road for J.P. Sears lately. He went four innings, gave up five. Gave up five earned, gave up seven total. Three walks.
Too. You know, he probably didn't want to do that.
Yeah. I think we all went into it sort of, at least with the back of, the thought in the back of our mind, J.P. Sears revenge game. Didn't quite happen.
No, it did not.
But J.P., I mean... J.P. Fujinami. Fujinami made one of a number of good appearances lately. Two innings, giving up nothing, striking out two. Yaxel Rios pitched in this game, who I believe has since left the team with some sort of health issue. I saw a tweet about
I don't know exactly
circulatory issues. Yeah. Sounds sketch.
What's it called? It might be thoracic outlet, maybe.
Could be. But obviously, everybody in the starting lineup didn't get a hit, so... Complete opposite of Inezco.
And yeah, we yes, absolutely. And we enjoy Inezco's a lot more, for sure. But Fuji, this was good Fuji. And that is not going to be as rare in these game reviews as it has been historically. There's still some bumps in the road, but he had some really, really good outings this last week.
He did.
You know?
He did indeed.
And it looks like he's, maybe not every time out, but it looks like he has found a little bit of something. You know, like it looks like he can... He can go to maybe his fastball location a little bit more reliably than he could at the beginning of the year, which is good news for him, you know.
Absolutely. The next game, 10-4, the Yankees won. Hogan Harris pitched admirably.
I would say so.
But not good enough. Gave up four earned runs through 5 1/3. Only walked two.
I like him, though.
I like him, too. Yeah, we'll talk more about his start today, but I was really excited about him today, and it didn't quite go so great. Ursig had a blow-up outing, so he really got it all out in one...
Hopefully.
One man. Go, let's hope.
Because he's... That was surprising to me.
Gave up four earned runs in no innings.
didn't get anywhere.
Didn't get through any amount of innings at all.
Which is tough.
Wallachuk came in with a good appearance, kind of similar to the Fuji sentiment. Mm-hmm. Sort of trending in the right direction right now. And Austin Pruitt pitched, because he pitches every day.
Yes.
But there was some stuff to talk about in the lineup on this day. Seth Brown.
Much, much more than the day before.
Seth Brown got three hits. That's mostly it.
Yeah, I mean, they scored. They hit the ball. They got on base. They scored runs. It's a vast improvement over the...
That's right.
They gave up less runs and they did not get perfect gamed. So you have to call it a marked improvement.
That's what we're looking for these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least at that point. Maybe the expectations are a little bit higher as we sit here today, but at least on that day, it was like, okay, we need to get a hit and then maybe score a run if we're feeling crazy, but definitely we need to get a hit. And they did. So, good job. Seth Brown got three of them. Look at him go. And it mostly got better from here. The White Sox series was much better than the Yankees series overall, I would say. And it wasn't just because nobody threw a perfect game. It was the results altogether were better.
The A's won the series.
They did.
That always helps.
Yes. And it was a good start. It was a good start.
It's crazy, but I think I've lost track of the number of series we've won this year. Is it like three?
It's more than two.
It might be.
It's more than two. I can guarantee you because I know we won two this week.
That's and right. There we go. Logic.
We won two this
Logic.
Week.
I was like, I'm not sure, Dan.
And they weren't the one. First two of the year. So we have at least three. I would say maybe even four. But that might be crazy, honestly. But yeah, we won the first game 7-4, and it was Luis Medina Day.
Yeah, well, the White Sox are one of the few teams who probably have maybe not sad, but just upset fan base on par with the A's in terms of season performance and how they were expecting to do. So White Sox not having a great year, and the A's just added on a little bit. So they did.
Losing the series to the A's at this point has got to be rough for a team that's struggling, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you got to look at a series against the A's as, like, an opportunity to maybe, like, turn it around. And the White Sox did not do that against us, for sure. Which was awesome for us. Bad news for them, though.
That's right. The A's dropped a 4 spot in the second inning in response to a single run by the White Sox in the top of the first. And it was just a good old-fashioned rally. The A's got 10 hits in this game. 2 by Aledmys Diaz, 2 by Langeliers, 2 by Kemp, including a triple by Kemp and by Rooker. The rare 2-triple game. Not sure how often
this
that
is. Remember, this is they were tripling up a storm there for a little bit.
That's right. I think there's some more triples coming. Carlos Perez home run. Diaz had 2 doubles, by the way. Those were his 2 hits. So really nice all-around offensive performance, something that we are going to be seeing a little bit of in the next couple games here.
Tony Kemp is Tony Kemp looks like he's broken. It's going to be tough for him, I think, to get the overall numbers to respectable. There is a lot of the season left, but he's looking good. He's looking, you know, like Tony Kemp is having much more palatable at-bats than he was having the first like month and a half. And the results are way better. He's hitting the ball all over the place. A little bit of pop, too. A little bit of pop for Tony Kemp. So, yeah, what was it, 7-4?
7-4. Luis Medina got the win. Yes. He went 5 innings. Walked 5, struck out 4. Somehow only gave up 1 run. Another perfect inning from Fuji. 1-inning pitch, nothing on the board. And
it was great.
A save from Trevor May. Kind of messy, but it was a multi-inning effort, and it worked.
And so, Trevor May is making a case, as I've discussed before, he's making a case for maybe getting himself traded for something good, because he is, you know, as you said, it's a little bit rocky, but he's also producing some results. Not like beautiful results, but some results, and contenders need that. You need some results in your bullpen from some people, you know.
Yes, we do.
So that was win number 22 on the year.
That's right. And Ruiz got up to 41 stolen bases on the season,
which is a number that we love.
And it's one, I think 42 is the Oakland record. And Oakland rookie record.
Yeah, and we will discuss where he stands on that at the end of this episode.
He gets 42 the very next day in my game of the week.
Mm-hmm.
This was a 7-6 extra innings in 10 victory over the White Sox. Kyle Moeller came back up, pitched fine, I guess. He went 5, gave up 3, struck out 4, walked 4.
He looked
really
worse.
Not that great.
This is an interesting thing because he's kind of done this before with a couple of starts. He's looked really bad, mostly like really bad. But then you look at the box score after the game and you're like, he gave up like 2 and 5 innings. It's not that bad. I don't know how he didn't give up like 8. But, you know, like if Kyle Moeller can settle into like doing this, maybe pitching another inning or two consistently, then I'll be happy with him. You know, I mean, three runs over ideally 6 innings. But 3 runs over 5 innings should probably keep you in the game if you have a good bullpen, you know. So I'd be happy to see a lot more of that from him for sure.
I'd like that. I'm not seeing the ace stuff I was hoping to see right off the bat. It's clear to me that he throws 97 with relative ease.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping once the accuracy gets a little bit better, it'll all fall into place.
He definitely throws hard. And he can get people out when he's in the zone, you know? So it's just that last part when he's in the zone. Tony Kemp had 2 hits, including another triple. Jace Peterson also tripled in this game. Ruiz, as you said, stole his 42nd bag. Blade knocked in 2. Batting average and OPS still have kind of a long way to go for him, but he's looking pretty good.
When he makes contact, he hits the heck out of the ball.
And there was a walk-off. This was a very exciting walk-off.
It was
also precursor to this. Corey and I have both been pretty busy up until like fairly recently, so we haven't had a lot of weekends to like totally chill and just watch baseball, and it's all we did, like
all
day Saturday. We totally hung out and just watched baseball all day, And we watched the entire A's game, and it was a thrilling, super cool walk-off. Tony Kemp, I think, grounded to second. It was the bottom of the 10th.
J.J. Bleday.
It was a J.J. Bleday. Yeah. And Tyler Wade was on second and just didn't stop running. And it should have been a ground out, but Alessandro booted the ball.
Bobbled it.
And it was not really even a play at home. He was safe by quite a bit, and it was a walk-off. It was very exciting.
And he freaking zoomed through the plate. We're talking about it now, so I'll just go ahead and say that's my moment of the week, because that walk-off, just, as Dan said, great experience watching baseball with your best friend, and always nice when the team wins. So
it is. It's very nice.
Especially in walk-off fashion, off of Kendall Graveman, didn't even notice that.
Yeah, absolutely. Great game. One of the more fun games, maybe of the year, definitely of recent memory, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we need a lot of walk-offs, because there's not going to be a lot of wins, so they need to be exciting when they happen.
Totally fitting. It's a walk-off error, too.
Yes.
That's all we can get, so
yes,
we're happy. Next game, the A's kind of squandered it early. Down 5-2 after 3. Down 8-3 after 7. Somehow managed to score 4 in the 8th and 9th innings combined, and ended up losing 8-7.
Yeah, and the last out was a pretty loud out. Jace Peterson hit the ball pretty hard with people on base, so there was a chance, but just didn't happen. Would have been really, really cool, because it would have been a cool comeback. But yeah, Blackburn did not have much. He was out there looking very hittable.
It's a shame. If he had anything close to a regular day that outing, the A's would have won.
Wouldn't have even needed to be good. Just needed to be okay. Just needed to do what Kyle Muller did. Literally just what we're talking about. And they win by, 4 runs. So, but anyway, it's okay. It's not the end of the world.
It's just another great all-around day for the lineup. Contributions from everyone.
Yeah.
2 hits from Tony. 2 hits from Bleday. Did you already say this?
No.
Just sounding very familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
2 hits from Tyler Wade. Tyler Wade, we should throw a little love his way.
He's been very good.
At least as of this box score we're looking at, he was up to 293, 707. I will take that, especially with the slick moves he's doing out there.
Yeah.
He's looking super handsome.
And he's so fast. He's so fast.
Tony Kemp in the leadoff spot, I think, is something to also draw some attention to. He started 2 or 3 games in the leadoff spot in the last week.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting dynamic. Him leadoff, Noto second, Ruiz out of that 9 spot.
And I think maybe the 9 spot isn't a terrible spot for Ruiz, honestly. Like, I think his future is ideally as a leadoff guy. But I think for now, it's maybe not terrible to take the pressure off of him. And when he's playing well and Tony Kemp is playing well, it's like 2 leadoff guys.
Yeah, I really do love the 2 leadoff guy approach. And there's a few guys I could see slotting in there. Ruiz, Wade, Kemp, all kind of fit the bill. I just want a speedster who, if they get on base, causes trouble.
Yes. It's funny how many of those guys we have right now. Because it's not 0, I'll tell you that much. But that's 2 out of 3. That's a series win against the White Sox. Gotta love it.
Included a home run by Rooker, his 14th, hadn't done that in a while. Can't remember if this is the day he was announced an All-Star.
I think it was.
Mm-hmm. So he hit that. It was like a pinch hit home run, or appeared as a pinch hitter. I think he hit the home run in his second at bat.
Yeah.
But cool for him to get into the game and do something like that on that day. And holy cow, Dan, the A's won the next day.
They did indeed.
This is weird.
They
were getting no hit again through 6 or 7 innings.
It was eerily familiar.
It was getting sketchy.
And it was also a major bummer because J.P. Sears was shoving. He was looking great.
Yeah, total rebound game. Excellent, yes. Excellent rebound game. We talked about how he had a bad outing against the Yankees, and he followed it up with arguably his best outing of the season.
Yes.
7 1/3, 5 hits, 4 Ks, nothing else, no walks. Just good
no
stuff.
No walks. Here, high five, no walks. We love no walks.
I mean, this guy's good.
He is. And he's a lefty. Love that. Noda knocked in the run. I think it was just a single, kind of uneventful. So, but I mean, in the 10th.
Go ahead, single.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the bullpen was great. Ursig was a little bit wild, but he was good. Fujinami was great. And Trevor May was, you know, Trevor May. He was pretty solid. He kept doing what he seems to have found recently.
Yep.
Which we'll be fine with. And he's got a sixth save of the year. You know, I mean, he's Trevor May. If everything holds, Trevor May is looking at maybe a 25 save year.
That's wild.
You know?
Was this Manny Pena's first game back? I think
it might have been.
Manny Pena's back. They really swept that one under the rug.
Yeah. But I'm excited for Manny Pena.
Me too. He looks good in his first couple games.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a hit yet that I'm aware of, but I like the swings.
They will come.
I like the way the ball is coming off the bat.
They will come. And then the next game. So yeah, 1-0 in 10. Honestly, not that awesome game. Not that much to talk about, though.
No. I also heard on the broadcast, I think it was like Stephen Vogt, said that Manny Pena is one of his favorite teammates of all time, so that helps. That ups his level
I trust
in
Stephen,
my book.
I trust Stephen Vogt.
Me too.
Maybe with my life. Yeah. At least with teammate recommendations.
At least with assessing someone's personality.
Yeah. Next game was super cool.
Super cool. Tied with the biggest blowout of the year, I think. I think when the A's were up by 10 at one point in this game, it was their largest lead of the season.
Yes.
So, 12-3 victory. Gonna assume that's tied for their biggest lead of...
Biggest victory
margin
of the season.
Of lead. Whatever I'm trying to say. So, great day. And just... When's the last time you felt like you could... I don't know. Turn the game off and actually expect a victory?
Yeah. No, I mean...
It was one of those days.
Forever. It's been... It feels like it has never happened this year. It's so rare. But yeah, I mean, three homers, Noda homered, Langoliers homered, and Jordan Diaz homered. Jordan Diaz had a big day. Jordan Diaz, 3-for-5, 3 runs, 2 RBIs, he homered. Ruiz was 2-for-4, knocked in 2 runs, stole his 43rd base, so I think that's the record for him. I think he stands alone on top of Oakland rookie stolen base hierarchy at this
point. That's right, I hope he took that base with him.
Tony Kemp stole base too. 14 hits, 12 runs. It was an Ezga. Every starter got a hit.
Don't be fooled. Tyler Wade came in the game as a replacement.
He was a replacement.
Ruiz,
it doesn't count.
Did something to his shoulder. Sounds like he'll be okay, but
yeah.
Scary moment.
Yeah, didn't love that. And then, so that, yeah, that's 3-game winning streak. Feeling pretty good. That's a second series one in a row. And then we got spanked today.
Yeah.
Which was unfortunate.
Yeah.
Hogan Harris went out there and didn't pitch very well today.
It was the opposite of the day before. The A's lost 9-0. Yeah, Hogan Harris gave up 7, struck out 6, managed to make it through 4 2/3, which I was a little surprised to see. Went up to 105 pitches. And Jace Peterson made an appearance. Lowered his ERA to 9 on the season.
Yeah, he seems to be, if they're going to go position player pitching, Jace Peterson seems to be the guy.
Jordan Diaz getting another 2 hits is the most exciting thing out of this game. And Brent Rooker, there was the uber exciting Brent Rooker versus Michael Lorenzen all-star face-off, which we will discuss a little bit more.
It had all the electricity that you would expect.
That's right.
I mean, Lorenzen was pretty good, 5 innings.
He was
hits,
good. His
no
changeup
walks.
Was nasty. I do wonder if he's got a little extra confidence from being named an all-star.
Yeah. And I saw Chasen Shreve struck out the sign in the 9th for the Tigers. I did not realize Chasen Shreve was still
I didn't either.
Out there doing his thing. But that was interesting to see. So, but they won the series. Which is, it's always a bummer. I think if you're going to take two, if the team is going to take 2 out of 3, I like them to win the first one, lose the second one, win the third one. Ideally.
Yeah.
You know, because then you kind of...
The last one hurts.
Yeah. Because it's, you know, like, it is, there. It is, the silver lining is, yes, we did win the series, but, you know, I think we lost 9-0. You know, it sucks. I'm talking about it right now. I wish we went 5-3 instead of 4-4. But anyway, it's okay.
It's like I learned when I was going through my interview training for a new job that you want to be somewhere, like, in the beginning or the end with your impression you make. You want to either be the first person they interview or the last one so they'll remember you.
Yeah.
If you're in the middle, that just gets washed away. So keep that loss in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it gets washed away.
Yeah.
By the good vibes of the first and last thing you saw.
But overall, they're playing better. I'll take it.
They are. What was our moment of the week for you, Dan? We already mentioned mine was Tyler Wade scoring on the walk-off.
The 1-0, 10-inning win.
Nice.
I wrote down here, almost guarantee it won't happen again this year. I think it's a, obviously it could, but when I, at the end of that game, I remember thinking, like, this is highly unlikely for this team. Like, this is a highly unlikely result for this team.
Limiting runs.
Especially on the road.
True.
You know? But anyway. So yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. I do love my one run games. So anyway, before we get too far away from the electric matchup between Brent Rooker and Michael Lorenzen, we were looking at the All-Star teams before we started recording, guys, and those two guys stand out as maybe the guys that made it because someone has to make it, which got us thinking, who are the other guys that made it because someone has to make it? And I don't know if these are all... Whit Merrifield, that kind of doesn't make any sense.
He's not having that good of a year. He has an OPS plus of 100.
And he's a bunch of, at least a few other people from the Blue Jays made it.
And Matt Chapman probably could make it over him.
I just don't... I think Whit Merrifield... That the season that Whit Merrifield is having would make sense as an All-Star season if he was still the only good player on the Royals.
True.
3 years ago. But it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I guess...
Well, who's representing the Royals? Salvi?
Yes.
Salvador Perez? Okay.
So, I don't know. It surprised me. And also, Dansby Swanson isn't having a great year. He's having an okay year. I think his OPS is like 780, 790, which I guess is fine. And Josiah Gray, I guess, surprised me a little bit, too.
But, he started out great,
and
maybe that's when people decided he was going to be the All-Star.
And
I mean, Michael Lorenzen's not that great. He's got a 4.28 ERA, ERA plus of exactly league average 100.
Which is, you know, not great. It's
fine, I guess, if you want a replacement-level player, not an All-Star. Not to really shit on him so much, just him and Brent Rooker.
Yeah.
Maybe aren't really All-Stars.
No, and I don't think...
They're going to make for fun trivia facts one day.
I don't think Orlando Arcia should be starting for the National League.
Definitely not starting, no.
You know? I think the Braves... If you told me the Braves have three starters, great. Braves are really, really good. One of them is Orlando Arcia. I'm like, I don't know...
Unexpected twist.
I don't know if he should be starting. But anyway, I mean, it's, Brent Rooker probably, what's Brent Rooker's OPS plus? Cause I think Brent Rooker probably deserves it slightly more than Michael Lorenzen, I would say.
I would say so.
Yeah. 128 for Rooker. So, you know, the OPS plus is, I don't know. Rooker's been good. Lorenzen's been aggressively average. But also, yeah, I mean, I guess no one on the Tigers is really standing out that much. So, anyway, I think Lorenzen, of all of both the AL and the NL rosters, Lorenzen and Rooker stand out as, like, dudes that made it because somebody had to make it, you know?
Yeah, so. I feel like low-key Ryan Noda should have made it.
J.P. Sears, I was like surprised J.P. Sears didn't make it, honestly. But... I don't know. You know, Rooker's having a fine year. He's not, you know, he's not the craziest choice in the entire world.
No.
He
and Noda have OPS pluses of 128.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Ryan Noda. He's great. Those two are definitely the bright spots in our lineup currently. Because, yeah, Eshri Reese, 85, has got to get that up a little bit, man.
Yeah. Dude, it's wild. He's got a slightly negative WAR, but he's so valuable in fantasy baseball. Just goes to remind you, fantasy baseball is not at all the same game.
No, it's dead, not representative of real baseball at all.
Like, I focus way too much on going for guys that I know are good at baseball and not that are good at fantasy baseball specifically.
Yeah, and it's like a tough balance to strike sometimes. But anyway, are you minor league? We haven't talked about the minor leagues in a while. And, well, we haven't extensively talked about the minor leagues in a while. I feel like we mentioned it in passing. But yeah, I saw this. Bobby Crosby said Lawrence Butler could play in the bigs right now. Lawrence Butler looks legit. And I know we've probably had this exact conversation about Lawrence Butler a number of times. But hearing someone like Bobby Crosby say, Bobby Crosby was legit in the big leagues at a pretty young age. So hearing Bobby Crosby say, like, this dude could play right now, I was like, Bobby Crosby probably knows better than I do whether someone's ready or not. So let's get him up. Let's call Lawrence Butler up immediately.
Completely agree. Another name I came across this week for maybe not the first time, but the first time I really looked into him, David Matthew Leal. 38th round draft pick in 2019 out of Louisiana Tech. He's currently pitching in Midland, and he's just kind of an interesting pitcher. He's lefty. He throws like max 87 miles per hour with his fastball, 80 mile an hour changeups, and he just really keeps people off speed. He's got incredible accuracy. He has, throughout his minor league career, so four seasons, 267 strikeouts and 37 walks. That's a 7.2 strikeout to walk rate.
Which is really good.
Really good, yeah. For comparison's sake, Michael Lorenzen this year, the All-Star, is at 3.1.
Michael Lorenzen, the All-Star. Yeah, a little bit on the older side. And definitely hasn't rocketed through the minors. But it seems like is in that crafty lefty mold, which has worked for people before. So yeah,
the article I read compared him directly to Jamie Moyer, people like that. So I would settle for that. It's been a while since we've had someone succeed in that role. Like Tommy Malone comes to mind. He got a spot start this week.
I saw that.
Fun stuff there.
I love Tommy Malone. I don't think he's great, but I love him.
So it'll be interesting to see if this guy makes it to the show or how far he makes it.
Jonah Bride's crushing it.
Yeah, just looking at AAA though, Jonah Bride, it's hard not to see this guy become a big league baseball player. He's basically a career 420 on base guy in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. He leads if you take out some outliers like Ramon Laureano, he leads the Aviators in OPS this year.
He's over 1,000, right?
He's got a 1.002.
Which is great.
Part of a 309, 419, 583 slash line. It's got 9 home runs, 17 doubles, 2 triples, 31 walks to 33 strikeouts. Pretty impressive stuff. Blade, notably, was also crushing it even harder.
Yes.
Albeit for a slightly shorter period of time. But he had 20 walks to 15 strikeouts himself. I am shocked to see that. 429 on base. We should also look at Nick Allen, man. 33 games played this year. He's got a 420 on base percentage. 939 OPS. That's fourth best on the team if you take out outliers.
Yeah. So, I mean, Nick Allen, it remains to be seen. Nick Allen can do AAA. He's got to hit it. He's got to hit it at the majors because his glove is great. You know,
he's got more walks than strikeouts, 20 to 16. He's clearly not figured it out at the big leagues yet.
No.
But yeah, feels like he might. Seems like he might. Zach Geloff
is doing pretty well. Thing.
He is slowly but steadily riding that ladder up the minor league system. I'm assuming we'll see him in the big leagues this year.
Yeah, and Soderstrom is also kind of making it happen a little bit more. We still want the on-base percentage a little bit higher, and he is striking out way too much still. But, you know, I mean, he can strike out that much if he's going to do like what Geloff does. You know, I mean, that's, you can strike out. If you're three results, you strike out, walk, hit the ball hard, that'll work for me. You just got to do the hit the ball hard and walk a lot.
Yes.
So.
This Max Schumann guy looks pretty good. 307, 417, 486.
Yeah, maybe I want a little more pop, but that's, you know, I on base over 400 seems like a popular move.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Zach Geloff leads the team in stolen bases, it looks like, at 19.
I believe in Zach Geloff.
Did not realize he was a big runner.
And I feel like all the power isn't even quite there yet, you know? So there's probably going to be a couple seasons where he's pretty good at both of them, you know.
Trenton Brooks, never really heard of him, but he's got a 41-42 strikeout to walk ratio, or walk to strikeout ratio, 12 homers. He's up in the top four in homers.
Yeah,
on the team.
He's got as many as Dermis Garcia.
Soderstrom, Cody Thomas with 17. Soderstrom's got 20. Brooks and Garcia with 12. Not sure what to think about Garcia at this point. Obviously, yeah, these are inflated minor league numbers. Everything flies out of the yard in Vegas. But I don't know. It's hard not to like.
I'm also happy with what I'm seeing from Kyle McCann.
Hard not to like a 360 on base, you know?
Yeah.
Something higher than that's even better.
So, right,
that's the minors. The team overall is not really that good. They are sub 500. Not that that really matters, but I think a lot of the ace talent is more in double A. So that's something Dan and I need to really work on familiarizing with ourselves. We should take advantage of the fact that we can watch those games in MLB TV now.
We should. That's true. Because I would, it may be slightly more entertaining than, you know, watching the majors occasionally, you know.
At this point, maybe.
Yeah,
the Aviators are in fourth place, 38-44.
They're not dead, though.
Oh, they're playing a game right now. They are winning. Kyle Muller's pitching.
Cool.
How did they get their run? Jonah Bride. Wow, I didn't even know he was in AAA. These guys. Slippery guys.
Yeah. He's crushing it.
I had no idea. RBI double.
Yep. Okay, so we got our player of the week. I am asking Corey. I'm going to say getting this one might be a tall task.
Uh-oh. Nate Fryman.
That might have been too good of a hint. But anyway, you can take
Nailed it. This is Tanner Gibson's favorite baseball player. Let's go to the real stats here.
It was Nate Fryman.
6'8", 245.
It was Nate Fryman. Rule 5 pick.
That's right.
Rule 5 pick.
Born December 31st, 1986.
Only played probably not even a full season.
Highest selection in the draft was 8th round by the Padres in 2009.
Padres love themselves a tall guy.
Made his debut April 3rd, 2013.
Yeah, and like it would play, played quite a bit in 2013, some in 2014.
Max out 80 games. He'll forever be known for his walk-off broken bat single off of Mariano Rivera.
Yes, he will.
And really, yeah, league average, 100-101 OPS plus, but solid. Totally
Yeah,
solid.
A little bit surprising to me that he completely fell out of baseball.
Yeah.
You know?
He was kind of a part of just, like, the A's folklore of that time.
Yeah. And also, like, legitimately, like, a big target at first. You know, like, I don't know why he didn't... It's surprising, because he was pretty good. He was a pretty good first baseman.
His presence directly coincided with, like, the most dominant stretch of Oakland A's baseball in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed like... the A's were... That A's teams was one of those teams that seemed like any dude they picked up was just going to have his like best stretch baseball for that team, you know. But anyway, okay, so that was too easy. I probably shouldn't have even given you a hint. You wouldn't have been able to get that one.
I don't know. I'm not sure how easy it would have been without the hint.
But, okay, coolest thing we saw in baseball, the Padres completed their first sweep of the year. Yesterday, I think. I don't think they're playing today.
Of the Angels.
Yeah.
Suck it, Slegna.
Yeah, so this is a very pro-Padres podcast. We love the Padres.
Pretty anti-Angels.
And we don't like the Angels. So
to be honest.
That was great. And my girlfriend Katie's dad is a big Padres fan. And, I mean, she's also a Padres fan, but he's a big Padres fan. And his mood is slightly affected by the Padres game results. So we're hoping for Bob that... Yeah. The Padres really start to kick it into gear. They have the talent. I don't even feel like I need to say that, but you know, we'll see. We'll see if they can really make this maybe like 8 out of 10 situation, you know.
So relatable, Bob.
Yes, totally. Totally. What about you?
Another Ellie De La Cruz moment, of course. I didn't really. I was kind of watching the game in the background. Saw that there was the thing about his bat getting checked. Didn't really know what was going on. And then he hit a home run. Very cool. Super sick home run. But then I found out more details. So it turns out in the minor leagues, you can use, I think they're called blast sensors. You can put this little plastic sensor on the knob of your bat, and it'll tell you how hard you're hitting the ball and the launch angle and stuff. And you're allowed to use it in live games in the minor leagues. You're not allowed to do that in the big leagues. Turns out you can put the little plastic thing on there just without the sensor. That's allowed. So presumably he does it because he's so used to having it and he likes it.
Yeah.
He's comfortable with it. But yeah, the Nationals manager wanted to pick a bone about it, and it was just really cool. So they had it inspected. He then hit a home run his following at bat and then immediately pointed to his bat knob like, yeah, check the bat knob.
Ellie De La Cruz is so cool. He's so cool. He's a star. He's already a star.
He's a star. And he's played like 20 games. It's incredible. I love that stuff. One of my favorite things about baseball is the Ellie De La Cruz type story.
Yes. And it seems so sustainable. Like, it seems very unlikely that he's going to, like, not be great.
Totally.
You know? And yeah, I saw that you put in here. I appreciate that you put this in here. The MLB on the AtBat app, you can now watch, like, a 3D version of the game. Going like it's a 3D kind of animated version of the game that's going on.
It's
like, kind of a little bit hard to just. I've had a hard time. I was trying to describe it to Katie actually. I was like I'm falling short.
I mean, I think they essentially use like person like facial recognition technology to recognize human bodies and the movements they make and stuff like that, and then just plot it out onto this interesting little video thing. And it's basically live. It's like a pitch or two behind the live game.
Very cool.
But yeah, you go into game day, and there's this little 3D button on the top right. Click 3D, and I personally haven't figured out how to correctly navigate it, but you can like theoretically put yourself anywhere in the ballpark at any angle.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Very fun stuff. It's in beta mode, so I don't think they've made a big hubbub about it yet.
Okay, the fantasy deal. You beat me again.
I did. I did quite well. I had Emmett Sheehan get me 15.5 and Jamer Candelario 76.1.
He is a spicy tamale right now.
That's right. You had Tony Gonsolin, who I had in fantasy baseball, did not go great.
And I had
negative 0.8
on over two starts.
And you really undid the TJ Fradel 81.4 with that.
Yep. So what'd you 90? What'd you get? 92.6? Something like 91.6. And I got 80.2. So, close one. I got a pick better pitchers. I'm going with Bailey Ober of the Twins and Mickey Moniak from the Angels this week.
I forgot to make any choices, so I'm going to do the first things that come to my mind, which are Sonny Gray.
Also a good pick.
And Anthony Rizzo, because I said the first thing that was coming to mind.
That's fair. And he, you know, Rizzo's not been bad. And for some fantasy.
My phone says Anthony Disco.
That's his alter ego. That's what his closest friends call him. And for some fantasy pickups, Francisco Alvarez has homered in three of his last four games. He was in like a, he went like 5 for 60 or something over like a period of time. But now he's homered in 3 out of 4. Catcher's pretty shallow still, you know, and I think he's owned in like 35% of leagues. So I think at this point, if you need a catcher, it's probably worth just picking up Francisco Alvarez and holding on to him even through cold stretches, because I think he will overall, I think that at the end of the year, the numbers will be pretty good. And coming into the recording of this, we were talking about how like you just kind of hold on to some of these guys, and like even if like 3 or 4 day stretches aren't very good, like overall, it's going to be good, you know, and I think Alvarez is one of those guys.
Similar player, Yainer Diaz on the Astros, starting to get pretty hot. He had a 2-home run game just the other day. A couple good catching options. Our notes in this notes app are getting all jumbled. JP Crawford is actually playing pretty well. His on base up to this on the season is like around 360. Will Benson, I don't know, might not be a bad idea to ride this Reds wave. So Will Benson is an outfielder who's had a couple big knocks isn't quite playing every day yet, but maybe on his way.
And then
anyone else jump out to you?
Josh Altman is and also, like, again, all these dudes are under 50% owned, so but Josh Altman,
James Altman,
you're right. I don't know why I keep calling him Josh. Is there also a Josh?
There used to be an A's Josh Altman, I think.
Anyway, we're talking about James Altman here, center fielder for the Dodgers. Had a 2-homer game, had a hit today, had walked, stole a bag. I think he's just, you know, he's going to be in the lineup every day, and he plays for the Dodgers, and he seems to have at least a 2-homer game in him once or twice a month. So, yeah. You know, for a guy that's like 33% owned in most fantasy leagues, you can do a lot worse than that. So there are people that are definitely 70% owned that are having worse years. So
follow our advice and you're sure to win your fantasy league.
What do we got?
It's not actually a disclaimer.
What do we got coming up
here? We got the Red Sox starting tomorrow in Boston.
Boston. Oh, and then it's All-Star break.
That's right. So, yeah, I don't know. Well, I'm sure we'll put out an episode next week, probably during one of the days off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, probably Wednesday or Thursday.
Maybe if we get crazy, we'll try and do some, like, live stuff.
Yeah, during the Home Run Derby or something like that.
Yeah. We'll see.
So that, yeah, we may do that. We may not do that. Who knows?
Don't hold us to it.
Yeah.
But we are going to at least try and figure out how to do that stuff soon.
Yes.
And so we'll get there.
Let's win one more series before the All-Star break. How about that?
Let's beat some more Sox.
Let's do it.
Beat the Sox off.
All you need to do is win 2 out of 3, preferably the first and the third. Those are the rules.
That's right.
And we will talk to you next week. And in the meantime, go A's.
Go A's.